Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, the best podcast in all the land. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. Trevor, I'm not sure if you heard that little bit just added in there at the beginning that we normally don't do, but it's because it's official. The vote came down from the people, an ambiguous term, but clearly defined as everyone who listens to sports podcasts here, and they said, we're the best. So congratulations. Yeah.
Listen, I'm honored to accept the award, but I'm not surprised.
No, can't say I'm surprised. Saw this coming from a mile away. The people are the greatest, obviously. So are us. So are you and I. So
it's
are
true.
We.
All things are true. The greatest listeners, the greatest hosts.
It's unbelievable.
The greatest network.
This might be the greatest podcast we ever do here on this Monday morning. Are you ready?
That's why it's the last podcast. This is the last episode. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you hear that siren? Can you hear it?
Very faintly in the background. What is that?
Here, it's a siren in my town. They just found out about our podcast. Can you hear it?
You can barely hear it, but
you can hear it though. Okay, it's coming through.
I got headphones on. They're nice headphones.
They just found out about our podcast. This is in honor of us. They're setting off the alarms in the town.
Unbelievable, man. I can't. No, you know,
that's actually our fire alarm in our town. Can you imagine living in a place that feels the need to alert every citizen in the county when there's an emergency? Like, why? Why do we need that fear living over our heads?
Look, man, America all about instilling fear. Wow, we went too far. Sorry. Wow. This went documentary. This went documentary real quick.
Things
sorry.
Dark. Okay, NFC North. We're talking about the NFC North. We're finishing up our off-season plans. Speaking of fear, Aaron Rodgers with a fresh roster. Who's scared?
Everybody.
Okay.
I
thought you were going to say you weren't. I thought you were going to be contrary, but
no.
LaFleur in charge. I'm very interested to see how this marriage works out, no doubt about it. But
Peter LaFleur, the main character from the movie Dodgeball.
Wow, obviously, of course, who I thought of. Who was posted that when LaFleur got hired? It was like
somebody did.
Oh, what was
cramming
it?
Up your cram hole.
Yeah,
LaFleur.
Cramming up your cram hole, LaFleur. It was like Roger saying it to LaFleur. That's great. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, but anyway, Green Bay, looking at their situation right now, we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. Interior offensive line's been kind of this thing. It's been floated around as a need for them. I think it is, but I do think they like Justin McCray at right guard. I feel like that's the spot that could get upgraded if you look at their roster. So that's in consideration and in play for them. Remember, two first-round picks, 12 and 30, I believe. 12 and 30, yeah, so they've got some wiggle room. I think wide receiver, it's a need, but at the same time, Devontae Adams is here, and they have those young guys that they like, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, so still something there to kind of develop. I don't think it's a screaming need, but definitely should be addressed at some point in the offseason. And then tight end, right? Like Jimmy Graham.
Big tight end need.
Can't go rolling out Jimmy Graham again this year, like. You gotta
I mean, they're going
to,
yeah. But
I think they already paid him his bonus or whatever. But so I think that finding a tight end to kind of grow and evolve in this offense and maybe play with Graham a little bit, but eventually take over that feature role is important for this team.
But like, so here's the thing though with the Graham thing, and like they need a tight end, and Packers fans, they sometimes see TJ Hockenson at number 12, and they're like, that's too early for a tight end. We don't want to take a tight end that early. Or even at 30. Sometimes Packer fans are like, oh, they don't need a tight end at 30. A lot of the other tight ends in the class are receiver-based. So are you just trying to get somebody to rotate in and out with Jimmy Graham? Because like, if you draft Hawk, you get like a full-time inline tight end who can also catch. It's almost like, I mean, I know I cover the Bucks, people probably tired of this parallel, but like OJ Howard can do everything. Like OJ Howard can block and he can be a receiver. Jimmy Graham can only be a receiver.
And so, even that's getting questionable, right?
Right. So like I don't really think, like if the Packers are truly going to try to go after tight end, you've got to go after it early, and it's basically got to be Hockenson. Like you could float around all
or
these
fans.
Other guys that might be Yeah, Fant could be okay. No, I'm you're right. I'm mistaken there. Fant could be fine too. But I think I've heard Packers fans go, "Oh, it's a deep tight end class. We can wait. We can take some of these other guys." And it's like, I just don't really – I don't see that eye-to-eye with them. Not that they couldn't use a tight end anywhere, but if they're really serious about upgrading, you've got to pick kind of one of the top two dudes or not. Like, it's not really helping you outside of Jimmy Graham. Like, you're just getting a rotational guy in the same position instead of, like, upgrading the position as a whole. So those are my thoughts.
Wow. So basically, we're looking at Green Bay and we're saying – you got to add an offensive playmaker. I don't think it has to come in any sort of order. I think you're looking for the best offensive playmaker on the board, somebody else to accompany Devontae Adams in this offense. You have some nice promising young pieces. Maybe that's a tight end. I think tight end should be strong consideration for them because of how they use and feature the tight end and how much Aaron Rodgers has loved that position and used that position and how good a red zone quarterback he is. Why wouldn't you want to have that type of position in your offense? Obviously, even with the new regime in here, I would expect some of those things to be in place. LaFleur was in Tennessee. They had Delanie Walker. He got hurt, obviously, early in the year, but some other guys developing there. Nathaniel Hackett, obviously, the roots in Jacksonville most recently, and they use their tight ends a ton there, albeit in a short passing game, but they use their tight ends a lot there. So I think that that's going to be a position that's a priority. As I'm looking at this roster, I would hope that in a deep draft class like this, it gets in with three guys on the roster. I mean, Lance Kendricks and Mercedes Lewis are probably gone, but their top three tight ends are all over 30 right now. So you need a good young player at the position in this tight end class. I think they could address it in a later round, but you're kind of right. Like, take the best tight end on the board, man. Like, you got two first-round picks.
Right, like, if you need the need, which they do, mm-hmm. be aggressive with it. Go get an impact player. Don't wait.
The other thing that could mess that up, though, as much as I agree with your point, free safety. It's a huge need on this team. They feel like good about the cornerback position, I'm sure. You got Josh Jackson, Kevin King, Jair Alexander, all high picks from the last 2 years. You kind of got to ride with those guys. Strong safety, Josh Jones. You got to find out what he can offer. I'm not saying he's perfect or he may have been overdrafted in the second round, especially considering that safety class and the way it looks right now. But I think you have to ride with him at strong safety, and then it leaves the hole at free safety. And they don't have anybody really for that spot right now. So as it stands, Green Bay is in position. I know this isn't like a super top-heavy safety class where like the number one safety on the board is going to go top 10 or anything. So it's possible they could get the best safety in the class at 30. I mean, it's not out of the question. So gauging that is going to be an important part of this process too. Also, there's been the buzz. Earl Thomas could end up in Green Bay. What do you think about that potential fit?
I mean, that's interesting. I mean, as a single high guy, that would really, really help the Packers out. I'm not sure Earl Thomas has his sights set on anywhere other than Dallas, but I mean, like at 30 though, like if you're asking me, hey, do you think that they should prioritize a tight end or a safety? Like I would tell you tight end. Like even if it's, I mean, if Hockenson or Font are on the board, I'm taking both of them for Green Bay over basically any tight end in this class. That's just me though.
Interesting. I don't necessarily disagree with you, to be honest. I think you need offensive playmakers when you're a team like Green Bay. I mean, they have to feel decent about where they are in the trenches. I mean, Dean Lowry and Clark and Mike Daniels still, and I know that they should add to that talent to that group in terms of talent, but you can do that in the middle rounds of this class. I don't think it's the end of the world if you don't do that in the first round. So I would say options are open for Green Bay, but adding an offensive playmaker is a number one priority. Adding a free safety is a number two priority. And then from there, I think you look at your other positions like edge pass rusher. I know some people have said that's a top need. If Nick Perry leaves, let's say Nick Perry gets cut, then does edge become your biggest need?
I mean, I think edge is probably the biggest need anyways.
Oh, you think it is? Okay, all right. So basically, even though with Kyler Fackrell's big year, you're not believing, which I don't blame you for.
Picking edge at 12 if on the Packers.
Wow, okay. All right, never mind. Then scrap what I just said. I said offensive playmaker number one priority, free safety number two priority. But I would agree with you. See, here my only concern with picking edge at three is, or edge at 12, is if Kyler Fackrell, I mean, just like I'm with you, I kind of like don't think it's gonna happen again. But how do you sit him after the year he just had? And if Nick Perry's back, which they paid him a lot of money,
well, like I don't about sit him. I'm again like we're talking about a rookie.
So you're playing three.
I'm talking about a rookie in a rotation.
Okay, so you're not trusting him long term or Perry.
I am not afraid to set up a rotation. I am never afraid of being ahead of the curve,
especially
when it comes
position.
To that position. Right, yes, 100%. No, I'm still drafting an edge at 12. If I'm Green Bay, I'm drafting an edge at 12 because I know
unless the best one there sucks, and then you're taking Hockenson.
Well, I mean, I think Burns or Polite or Farrell are going to be there at 12.
Sure. Yeah. You're probably right. So let's say they bomb testing, though. Well, we get.
I bomb testing. I still went to college.
But did you play in the NFL?
I did not. Did not.
Your mic got super loud when you said I bomb testing, and it was like, I bomb testing. It was like, whoa. Okay, Trevor. You did indeed. So edge defender, offensive playmaker, safety. Those are the three. Those are the three needs. You consider right guard. You look at your options. Consider the defensive line. You look at your options. But those are the three big needs in that order for Green Bay.
You've got me self-conscious now. I'm going to talk like really soft.
No, you were good. It just was a random moment. It was really funny.
Maybe God really needed people to know that I sucked at testing.
It was a very loud proclamation. I declare bankruptcy. If people haven't seen The Office, that's going to be a really weird moment in this podcast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Probably should move on to the next team to
also,
try to.
Also, if they haven't seen The Office, they probably deserve for it to be a little awkward right now. The Chicago Bears, where do you even start with this team, man? This is a really good roster. How did this happen so quickly? Man, this is a talented
Eddie
team.
Jackson. Eddie Jackson balled out as a fourth round pick. Adrian Amos balled out.
Yes.
Leonard Floyd planned out. They picked.
Leonard Floyd has not panned out, but I appreciate your.
No, he's fine. He's fine.
Very average.
No, he's fine.
They picked him in the top 10.
No, he's fine.
What? How are you going to say he's fine?
He's fine. Roquan Smith was a top three player last year. They took advantage of Oakland's general manager being an idiot and took Khalil Mack.
Very blow by blow breakdown of exactly how it happened.
Jacksonville was extremely stupid and let go of Allen Robinson. Offensive line's great. Don't need to comment on it. And Trubisky is, jury's still out. I don't know.
So you believe that in three seasons as an edge defender, 15 and a half sacks is a first round top 10 caliber type output for Leonard Floyd.
Brother, he's 5 sacks away from being in the Bucs Ring of Honor if he was a Tampa Bay guy.
That's a fair point. He isn't, though. He's a Chicago Bears guy. I digress, though. What is the biggest need on the Chicago Bears team as you currently see it?
Probably another corner spot, I would say. I don't know what they're going to do with Amos either.
Or Callahan. Callahan's probably one of the best nickels in the league. One of those guys maybe gets tagged.
Yeah.
I have to do some Bears investigating, but yeah. And I would think it's Callahan, to be honest.
And I don't like, I'm looking at their depth now. I'm not a big fan of the depth.
Not
a big fan of the depth.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sheriff McManus is going to be a good. That's the thing. That's the one thing. Callahan, I think, is a more valuable player to them than Adrian Amos, but McManus played well when he was in the slot last year after he took over from Callahan. I don't think he's Callahan, but you could look at it and say, we don't have anybody behind Amos. Mm-hmm. We have somebody behind Callahan. So it's going to be interesting.
I think they're going to need need a DB in some way or the other. I think probably by the time free agency runs its course,
but here's
it looks
the thing.
Like.
Do you tag Amos when Eddie Jackson needs a payday and you're going to have all that money locked up at safety then? I just don't think you do it. I think Amos walks. I think Amos walks and Callahan comes back.
Yeah, but hold on. Wait. Hold on. If you're tagging him, you're just buying another year.
Fair,
you
but
can still,
do you,
you
want
still,
to sink
you
that money into him? I mean, he's
I mean, if you,
that
if,
good.
Yeah,
he's good.
If you think that Amos and the tandem that they have at defensive back is a catalyst for them going farther than they did the year before, and you have the money to do it, it makes sense. I mean, you're not going to jeopardize a guy like Eddie Jackson's future money, but if you're franchise tagging him, I don't think you are. And so I have no idea what necessarily, I haven't heard anything here or there about what the Bears are planning to do with Amos, whether the franchise tag is even on the table or considered. But I don't hate the idea of it. Safety money ain't that high.
It's not. That is one of the things in their advantage, yeah. But then it's does he deserve to be paid like one of the top safeties in the league?
I mean, again, no, probably not.
But does that matter to the Bears?
But does that matter for next year, I think, is the key.
Okay. All right. So what do you need? What are we drafting? Nothing in the first round.
Yeah, right. Big old Khalil Mack. When is their first pick in the second round? Is it close? Is it early? No, it can't
No,
be early.
Not early. Hang on. I'll tell you.
Yeesh.
Stand by.
88.
No, they don't have a second round pick either. They traded that too. So they pick 88 in the third round, 88th, and then 120th in the fourth round.
All right. We'll see. We'll see y'all opening week.
Yep. Well,
we'll see y'all opening week.
This is your roster, Chicago. Enjoy.
Yeah. It's about it.
No, I mean, I think if you're picking at that point in the draft, you're looking for best player available for a team like this. I mean, people have talked about a running back to complement Tariq Cohen if Jordan Howard gets shipped out of here. That's possible, but I don't think it's like your top priority. I mean, if there's a great running back on the board, absolutely, sure. You know, you have that luxury, but
somehow come away in this draft with Jamie Moreland, Chicago. There you go.
If you lose Callahan, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, they could probably.
I just don't know who else, like an outside corner that they could pick from like the third round on that's going to matter in this class. I really don't.
Yeah, you're probably right. This class, outside corners are going to be. But I think you're right. If I'm picking just one position, I know Prince Amukamara has played well here, but is that going to last forever?
How old
his
is
career's
he?
Been
I'm
a
looking
up and down. It does feel like he's been in the league forever, but he's not 30 yet. It feels like he's been around for ages.
I mean, he turns 30 before the season.
Okay, turns 30 in the summer. Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're looking at corner, best player available maybe, and obviously feeling out what happens with Amos and Callahan, but this is nice, man, I think. But you can't get too comfortable ever. You're always looking to reload, right? Like, the best teams in the league have taught us that. Look at how quickly we said, Philly's roster's loaded, and then we just did the NFC East the other day, and it was like, man, they've got a lot of, like, they're at a crossroads at a lot of positions all of a sudden, so...
Mm-hmm.
It can turn fast. You got to evaluate what's sustainable about your roster and what isn't in terms of how guys have played over the long term in their careers, and then address those spots where you can. Obviously, I know they only have a third round pick in the top 100, but you know, you address those spots where you can to supplement the rest of your roster and make the most out of it. And I think that's going to be one of the keys for Chicago moving forward. Okay, Detroit, Trevor. Wide receiver is commonly expressed as one of the needs for the Lions. I understand that. Golden Tate is gone. Marvin Jones comes back from injury. Kenny Golladay is a born baller. After that, I'm not sure what happens here. Like, there is not a wide receiver three on this team. There are not many teams in the NFL you can say
excuse
that about.
Excuse you.
No, don't try. And is there a Florida guy under you're about to try and make a case for?
Get a great band, Brandon Powell, baby.
Oh, my gosh. So, like I said... Wide receiver three. And for a team that's going to throw the ball around, I mean, you got to throw the ball, right?
Right?
I mean, I think that's got to be a huge priority for them, is addressing that position.
Adam Humphries, come on down.
Possibility, honestly. Honestly, a possibility as a landing spot for Adam Humphries.
I don't know how much money that the Lions have free in cap, but like Adam Humphries is going to cost so much money as a slot receiver, though.
I'm kind of trolling. No, well, yeah, I mean, but I think somebody's going to pay it. Like, I mean, but and that's what they need. They need a slot, probably. So it makes sense. I think the fit makes sense. We'll see if it ends up happening, obviously, but that definitely makes sense to me as something that could happen with him. The other position, the offensive line, by the way, for Detroit, whether you think it's good or not, is less debatable to me. The fact of the matter is this is going to be their line. Like, first round pick in Taylor Decker, first round pick in Frank Ragnow. Those guys are going to get more time.
I like their line. Are they not good?
They haven't played up to their potential, I feel like, but you got to fix the guys that are here. And I think some of them have been injured, and that hasn't helped. But
Ragnow's
going to get
line.
Better. He got better during his rookie year. Decker got better since he's been back from injury. You know, he hasn't played to the level he did as a rookie, but I think he's still on his way up as a tackle in the league. I think you just got to get good coaching around him. Glasgow at center is not great, but TJ Lang, you paid a lot of money for, and I know he's getting older, but he's still a good player. Ricky Wagner, still a good player at right tackle. And you have Tyrell Crosby, who played well last year when he played. So, as your sixth guy. So, I think that this group is a very solid group.
Yeah, they're good there.
I'd play Ragnow at center and put Crosby at guard, to be honest, but I'm not a Graham Glasgow fan. But so, let's say they're good on the offensive line. Tight end has been a position they've valued in this offense. Daryl Bevel comes in as the offensive coordinator now. I feel like that's going to be a position that's a priority. He obviously was in Seattle for a lot of years. They prioritized the position, trading for Jimmy Graham. It was a big deal for them to make sure they had threats. And right now, Detroit doesn't really have one at that position. And I know the top 10 might be a little early, but do you think about it at that point in the draft?
I mean, I don't, just because edge is a need.
Yes.
And another lockdown corner is a need. So yep. like I'm with you about potentially prioritizing tight ends, especially in this offense, but I can't take it over Edge and I can't take it over lockdown corner. So the earliest I'd be picking a tight end is the top of the second round, and that's if, you know, maybe a guy like Irv Smith falls that far. Man, who else are you taking top of the second round? I feel like top of second round is probably too early for Isaac Nauta. Maybe Jay Sternberger.
That's the thing.
I kind of like him.
You can't reach for it when you have other needs like Detroit, because like
right,
you said,
yeah,
this is a good tight end
myself,
class.
Trying to convince myself of it here, and it's, I don't know.
The only option I consider in the first round is if you can trade back, add extra picks, and then potentially. But still, I think you're dead on. Like, you need another outside corner, man. You can't play with Jalen Tabor. You can't go back into another year with Nevin Lawson. You got to get an outside corner. I know they cut Glover Quinn. I think they're okay there. They've still got Tracy Walker they took in the third round last year. They're going to want to see him. They like Jamal Agnew. Quandre Diggs is still a versatile guy. But you have to have another outside corner. None of those guys are outside corners. And so you need to find another guy who can play outside corner. And that's going to be one of the top priorities for Detroit in the offseason, as well as pass rush. But I don't know that Matt Patricia really will care about it. It will be very interesting to see how much he deviates from the Belichick plan of just adding a bunch of bodies on your defensive line, rotating the heck out of them, and asking everybody to do a little bit of something different. And that's how you work. So, yeah, I don't know. That's going to be the fascinating thing to evaluate about Patricia and Detroit and the way they're building this team is, you know, how much they prioritize the pass rusher position. Because I agree with you.
Sure.
Edge and corner over tight end every day of the week.
Yep.
Every day of the week. So that's kind of where we're at with Detroit's offseason. Let's touch on Minnesota quickly. Well, gee, it looks like the offensive line could use some help, Trevor. Have we been here before? Having a little deja vu.
We have, John. Yeah, interior offensive line, they're number one. If they don't come away in the first round, which pick do they have? Do they have like 18 or something? What is it?
They have pick number 18. Yes, good job.
Wow. Whew, it's like I do this for
18,
a living.
50, 82, 114, 178.
Are you picking an interior line guy at 18, though? Like, who's there? Like, are you picking Lindstrom this early?
I'm very open to best player available. Yeah, absolutely. Bradbury, the zone-heavy scheme is what they've ran. They've been trying to run and implement.
Right,
I think as long as that continues to happen with Kevin Stefanski, which I believe it will. I haven't looked into Stefanski much, but I believe it will.
I think Minnesota could be a decent candidate, though, sitting at 18. Like, when you get to 18, like the late teens, those are where, you know, there are a couple of those, maybe a couple of those guys that you thought might flirt with the top 10 that are still sitting on the board. You might be a nice candidate to, like, trade down 3, 4, 5 spots, because there's not a heavy need for interior offensive line play. And I think that if the Vikings can move back a couple of picks, get a couple of extra picks, and they would still be able to get their guy in the interior. Like, they could probably go into the draft and think, Chris Lidstrom and Garrett Bradbury, like, if we come away with one of those two guys in the first round, we're happy. And so that might give them some flexibility to move back, not a huge jump back, but a couple of moves back, pick up a couple of extra picks. I could see the Vikings liking to do that and still getting their guy.
Right. The other position to consider for them, there's a couple defensively, honestly. Everson Griffin, there's some whispers that he could get cut there, be a cap casualty type of thing. I think they're going to bring back Sheldon Richardson. That could be another thing to make some room for that. Obviously, you have Danelle Hunter. Steven Weatherly played well for them last year, but I still think this is a team that's probably looking to add another edge to their defense if they were to lose Everson Griffin. So that's a position to keep your eye on and keeping under consideration. Also, linebacker, going to lose Anthony Barr, so who replaces him? Nobody on the roster immediately makes sense. We'll see what kind of develops as the offseason unfolds, but that could be a position that the Vikings look to address as well. And then I think you're honestly set in the secondary. You've spent a ton of resources there. Holton Hill played well last year. Mike Hughes before the injury. Mac Alexander played great. In fact, here's an interesting part as we look at it, their offseason. What is Minnesota going to do at corner? Because Holton Hill was great. Mac Alexander was great down the stretch. Mike Hughes is the first-round pick. Xavier Rhodes is here. Trey Waynes is here. Like, who's getting traded, right? Like,
I mean, Trey Waynes.
I mean, I would think that, but what's the leverage there?
There's not.
He's, like, solid but not great. better
I think
than
you're
he
kind of
was.
just keeping everybody, right? I mean, who they're gonna what? I mean, two of those guys are on rookie deals, so it's not like they're killing you.
It's not like a money thing, but if you can get something back in terms of resource, like, I mean, Holton Hill is about to be your fifth corner next year, the way he played. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. But, I mean, I think you're right. It's not a bad thing to have too many good corners. I wouldn't say, like, get one out of here ASAP, but at the same time, I think it's, like, one of those things where you're probably listening, you know. I don't think it's Hughes or Hill, right, because those are the guys of the future at the position for them probably. Mac or Wayne's. There's been whispers about Xavier Rhodes because he didn't play well last year, but
I was gonna say stay ahead of the curve, trade Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah, that's probably your bet in terms of getting being a chip that you can move and get something for, like legitimate something for. You know, that's probably your go-to type of move.
He turns 29 this summer.
Xavier Rhodes for Marcus Gilbert, straight up. Who says no? I would not.
I'd have to think about it. No, probably not. I'm not doing that.
Which for who? You're not doing it for who?
If I'm the Vikings.
Wow. Okay. All right. Couldn't be a straight up trade, probably. Gilbert missed too much time last year with the injury. But anyway, I think it wouldn't shock me if we saw Minnesota move one of their corners this offseason. But
all right. Conspiracy. I like it.
Yeah,
spicy.
Let's get a little juice going, you know. But, okay, so we've now looked at every single team in the NFL, all 32 teams over the last couple weeks. Looked at their offseason, previewed them ahead of them. Tomorrow we've got Charles Omenihu, Texas defensive end, coming on the show. Terrific stuff with him. You're not going to want to miss that. We've got a couple other prospect interviews we're going to be rolling out here for you soon as well. Excited to get those out to you guys for sure. So, as always, thank you all so much for listening. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.